for your place.
Welcome to Resettled Radio, brought to you by the ARCC, live on Planet FM.
Stay tuned for current affairs, conversation, interviews, music and more,
as we explore the perspectives and stories from resettled communities
and bring you information from within the resettlement sector.
That's Ghetto Kids Dance by Eddie Kinzo from Uganda is the artist that's singing. Welcome to Resonator Radio, brought to you live by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. I will be your host for the day, 1 hour show this Saturday, the 22nd June 2019. Welcome to the program. For those who have just tuned in, you have just joined the Resonator Radio, brought to you by ARCC live on Planet FM. Today is a great day. A lot of things happened this week, and I'm here to bring to you what has taken place. So this is a big day today, War of Refugee Day. War of Refugee Day is a global day, celebrated globally to commemorate the lives of those who did not make it out from their countries, and celebrate the success made by those who got the opportunity to resettle to other resettlement countries, such as New Zealand, the other countries like Australia, United States, UK, Germany, Sweden, Finland, Norway, all over the world, those who have the heart to receive the refugees and change their lives and become part of the society. And this is what has been happening since Thursday night. ARCC, in collaboration with the Auckland Art Gallery, celebrated the World Refugee Day in a special way. In a special way in the sense that kids have championed the resettlement journey. How they come together as young people who have been coming all the way from different cultures, and they have been trying to identify themselves. It's so hard, so emotional, and we don't know how they made it, but they had made to debate about the things and the issues that have been affecting them. So first of all, I would, on behalf of ARCC, Aotearoa Resettlement Community Coalition, ARCC, I would like to thank a special thanks to Auckland Art Gallery for hosting us this year and for doing an amazing job for the World Refugee Day celebration on Thursday night, 20th of June 2019. It's very moving, just like our general manager put it in his speech during the celebration that night on Thursday night, that he felt welcome to New Zealand for the first time. He has been here for 14 years. This is a very emotional speech, and it's a very emotional reception from Auckland Art Gallery. It has been a journey. It has been a journey as a new arrival to Aotearoa, New Zealand. It is not easy. It makes people emotional, actually, through the things that people have gone through. And we also give thanks to Auckland Council for having involved in the World Refugee Day. This is the first time for Auckland Council to directly involve in the celebration of the World Refugee Day. And we hope that this relationship will continue for the years to come. But for Auckland Art Gallery, you are the family. Thank you so much. Thank you for everything you have done that night. From the reception, it was only not that night, but some months before, when you came and tell us that you are not alone. We are all together in this, and you became part of us, and we felt really very welcome. And thank you for all the work and for anybody who involved in the World Refugee Day celebration on the Thursday night. And today is a World Refugee Day celebration in Mangere Resettlement Center. This is done by MBIE, Ministry of Innovation and Employment. And this is a collaboration between two three agencies, Immigration New Zealand, New Zealand Red Cross, and ARCC, Aotearoa Settler Community Coalition. And it's a very great day to see all the communities come out, come together, have fun, enjoy, remember the past as we move forward. This is all the day about. Stand in solidarity with all the people who are seeking safety in the second in the country of asylum. For the people who do not know, New Zealand is not a country of asylum, but New Zealand is a country of resettlement. That people come to this country, whether it's a migrant, whether it's a migrant from refugee background, to change, you know, to change the course of direction, to rebuild their lives. And this is the opportunity New Zealand government has offered to us, those who come to New Zealand, and not only New Zealand government, but the New Zealanders as a country, as a society, have given the opportunity to people who do not have home. This is what it is for the World Refugee Day. Someone who has been a refugee has no home, trying to find home. And for others who are lucky to be in New Zealand is our home and is our final home that we are happy to build, that we are happy to protect, that has, that's our home. That's the only home we know from the time we left our countries of origin. So today is just a great day, having kids come out, having young people there, you know, dance, make music, interact, laugh, and connect with people, connect with the largest society of New Zealand. We are a blessed nation, and together, no matter what, we are always one people in New Zealand. No matter what, no matter what, whether people are trying to divide, whether there are people who create a space for racism, there's nothing like we have to let it go. We have to face it together as one people, and we have to face the challenges together so that we are a great nation together. I will also play to you a little clip here. I don't know how long it is, but it's from the UNHCR chief who has involved in collaborating in remembering the refugees in his special way. So he gave a special message to celebrate the World Refugee Day. His name is Filippo Grandi, and he was giving this speech yesterday from New York, and it's a very great speech, and let's hear what he is talking about. We will play it for you. Sorry, it's coming.
Today is World Refugee Day. It is a day to honor you, the people among us who have been forced to flee, to leave your cherished homes in order to survive. And it is a day for us to recognize your courage and your determination to restart your lives. It is a day when I think of those of you whom I have met during my 35-year career serving refugees, in camps, in towns, in cities where you have found safety. I am continually deeply moved by your stories and inspired by your hope. So on this World Refugee Day, and also every day, my colleagues and I pledge to do all we can to help you. Not just to get by, but also to thrive. Even though there are more people like you who have been forcibly displaced than ever before, over 70 million, we have developed better ways to mobilize the world to support you. Is it enough? No. There are still far too few resettlement places for refugees who need them. Funding levels are too low. Some countries are introducing restrictions that are hurting your access to asylum. Boats are hindered from rescuing drowning refugees. Peace talks are slow to bear fruit. But many generous countries and communities are still welcoming places. And new partners from development and the private sector are offering investment and expertise. Ordinary people are donating and volunteering. Voices of humanity are holding their ground. And so, on this World Refugee Day, we must have hope.
Well, make sure you have plans for coming, you know.
Yeah, because some of them show
After days of running, the Tabo family arrived in Zamanda.
That's Filippo. Filippo Grandi, UNHCR chief in New York, and he's talking about the challenges faced by the refugees and the challenges of resettlement. And let me play to you this song, and then we will come back and discuss what Filippo has been talking about. Stay tuned and don't go away. Thank you. Now play number two. This is Sean Paul. Like glue. She's up in my head. Had a lot of dental in my bed to run that real. But I don't flick a girl, them on the road, them got the goody goody. Watching me up and tell them, don't take out the woody woody. Front way, back way, cut the came on up and show me, show me. Virgin, them want give me on me up and tookie tookie. Hot girls out the road, I said, them see me, see me. And I tell me, say, them have something for gimme, gimme. How much I'm like them all a dream about the Jimmy, Jimmy. Them a promise and I tell me, say, you're fimmy, fimmy. But a promise is a compare to a fool, so cool. But they don't know, say, that man a fi rule the school. When I pet them, just wet them up just like a pool. When I dig me to river, I fi use up me tool. Well, I don't really care what people say. I don't really watch what them want do. Still, I got to stick to my girls like glue. And I might not play number two. All I know, the time it is getting jet. Need a lot of cheese up in my head. Got a lot of dental in my bed to run that real. So how can they want big up them chest? But they don't know the tick up with they are rated as the best. I wouldn't they love it's the sound of all this. When I get up in a guy, your only girls with your requests, just give me the girl them. Yo, in every minute I'm with it, forget the girl them. Excuse it and get them regular visit, just give me the girl them. Now them all a pressure, me sell it last year. Me, I did that for them off, it be them big papa. Give me the girl them, off of the chronic, we take a drag. And I don't mean to brag, every day I got to share. Give me the girl them, every time I look in on my mind, it's only girls I want to find a true, me love them desire. But I don't really care what people say. I don't really watch what them want do. Still I got to stick to my girls like glue. And I might not play number two. All I know the time it is getting jet. Need a lot of cheese.
Everybody
up in my head.
Give it to them. Take it to them. Give it to them.
Run the boat. Run the boat. Run the boat, you know. Run the boat now. Signal the plane on the signal the plane, chop. Signal the plane on the signal the plane now. Parachute, 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 parachute now. Pon the river, pon the bank, pon the river, pon the bank. Hey, give them a run, wanna give them a run, yo. Give them a run, wanna give them a run, yeah. Give them a run, wanna give them a run, yeah. Yeah,
well, I don't really care what people say. I don't really watch what them want do. Still, I got to stick to my girls like glue. And I might not play number two. All I know, the time it is getting dread. Need a lot of cheese up in my head. Got a lot of dental in my bed to run that real. Well, I know, flick a girl, the motor road, them got the goody goody. One thing me up and tell them, don't take out the woody woody. Front way, back way, put the game on off, show be virgin. Them want give me and me up a tookie tookie. Hot girl them out the road, I said them see me, see me. And I tell me, say them have something for gimme, gimme. How much I'm on, I them all a dream about me, Jimmy, Jimmy. Them a promise and I tell me, say a fimmy, fimmy. But a promise is a comfort to a fool, so cool. But they don't know, say that man a fi rule the school. When I pet them, just wet them up just like a fool. When I dig get a river, I fi use up me tool. Well, I don't really care what people say. I don't really watch what them want do. Still I got to stick to my girls like glue. And I'm a now play number two. All I know the time it is getting dread. Need a lot of cheese up in my head. Got a little damsel in my bed to run that real. But I don't really care what people say. I don't really watch what them want do. Still I got to stick to my girls like glue.
Wepa! Sa se la nek non soukous. A wilo lombomba.
Welcome back. Welcome to Resonant Radio, brought to you live by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. And I'm your host today. I'm Galwak Chul. And I'm happy to welcome everybody. And we have been talking about the World Refugee Day. It has been a big event organized by ARCC on Thursday night in collaboration with the Auckland Art Gallery. It was a very amazing one to be in the Auckland Art Gallery. It's for the first time for the communities from the resettlement sector to be in To be hosted by Auckland Art Gallery is a new experience for us. This is a very overwhelming reception from the Auckland Art Gallery. Very amazing people, lovely people, community people. And we are so, so grateful for the reception and the warm reception and for the love given to resettlement community. Thank you so much, Auckland Art Gallery. And we will continue to be working together for a better future of the resettled community. So last night, Thursday night, was a celebration of the World Refugee Day in a special way. It was done in a way that it was a night for the youth. So the young people came together and had a panel discussion for the youth. It was funny, it was heartbreaking, it was full of laughter, it was everything. It was just kids, you know, having fun and be themselves. That's what it was. So it was about the challenges they faced. Some of them were born overseas, and some of them, their parents were forced to flee and came to the country of asylum. So some of them came to Iraq. When they came from Afghanistan, then they were in Iraq, some of them in other parts of the countries other parts of Middle Eastern region. And It was a defining moment where these kids come together and try to define themselves, because some of them, they don't find themselves belong here because of the things that happened to them. Being questioned, where do you come from? Some of them were born here in New Zealand, but, you know, your ethnicity or your skin cannot be an issue for integration or for the resettlement process. I know a lot of good Kiwis out there, very good Kiwis, ready to help, but there's no dialogue between the new people who are coming and the receiving and the host society. And this is a gap, and this is what the youth were talking about last Thursday night, trying to find a middle ground where they will be like, oh, so now we are young Kiwis who are developing this country as their own country. And this is what they have admitted finally. They said, no matter where they come from, they are Kiwis and they will always be Kiwis. No matter who is asking for where they come from, they will always be there. Our MP, the MP for Mount Roscoe, Honorable Michael Wood, the Undersecretary for the Minister of Ethnic Communities, also delivered a powerful speech pre-recorded. It was he was challenging New Zealanders that there are challenges out there, but these people have come with the skills, with the culture, with everything they have, with the knowledge, and let's work together to incorporate what they have brought us, to incorporate, put it to what we have already. It's not taking away what they came with. The culture they have come with is a part of New Zealand culture. The knowledge they have come with is a part of New Zealand knowledge, the experience and everything they came with. And this is a very great message from MP, a national MP. This is what was also repeated by another MP, Deborah Russell, a national MP, a Labour MP for New Lynn. And she was so kind to say, these people have fled their countries, come here looking for safety, and we welcome them home. She said, we welcome them home. This is a home for them. New Zealand is a home for them, not only refugee background communities, but for anyone who come from anywhere, any migrant. This is a blessed country, and we hope that it will continue that way. A great country, a small country, but a people with great heart in it. We have come a long way, and we are glad to be here in New Zealand as Kiwis, as new residents. Before Pilifo was talking about the challenges faced by the refugees, I played a clip before. If you have just tuned in, this is all about the World Refugee Day. And Filippo was saying, but I would dispute this figure. He said 70.8 million people have been displaced. So if we figure out, if we put the everything together for the countries that are producing more refugees, let's say Syria, South Sudan, Uganda, Iraq, Afghanistan, and so many countries now, the population would be more than that. But United Nations is counting the numbers that they have registered. But there are a lot of refugees which are not yet registered by the United Nations. Some are still even in the borders. They have not even reached the country of asylum. This is a very big big issue. And Filippo went on to say, there are countries who are putting restrictions on the refugees to come out. You know, you are fleeing the country maybe for the fear of persecution or being persecuted, and leave the country, flee, go to any country close to you. Like in my case, I just went to the country close to me, and when that country got into war again, I ran to another country. It's like you are always on the move. You know, this one is not good, and then it's not safe for you. You go to another one, another country which you think is safe, until you find the protection you seek. Or if you are lucky enough among the millions, then you get the resettlement, which is what many people from the refugee background have got, that they got a chance to come to New Zealand to be resettled, to rebuild their lives, to be a human being again. Just like the theme of the World Refugee Day on Thursday night and today at the Mangaroa Resettlement Center is about, we are all humans. No matter what happened, we are all humans. It doesn't matter whether I look different from the crowd, I'm a human being. I'm not a different animal, I'm a human being like you. The fact that I got a different skin, it doesn't mean that I don't have values. I have values, you have values, and your values and mine are similar. You know, respect for the human dignity. You know, respect my culture, I respect your culture. We're all human beings. We love one another, and this is what it is, and this is the great message. So, Filippo worked in the United Nations for 35 years. 35 years in service. We thank you, Mr. Filippo Grandi. This is a long service, and we thank you, the rest of us who faced the refugee life. And Filippo said, you know, these people who came, who fled wars in their own countries, in their countries of origin, they became stateless. They did not have a country or a place to call home. They fled away. But they have courage, determination to seek new life, rebuild their lives in another country. This is what most of us have done. Some of us came with nothing, but now there are doctors, there are engineers, there are accountants, and there are lawyers, and they are in the police force. You know, they are in law enforcement. This is a part of rebuilding this great nation that has said, let these people come here. They are us, and we are all together as new Kiwis. We are new Kiwis. And I got a friend that we used to live together in a refugee camp. His name is Ger Duany. Ger Duany, we live together in a camp called Ifo. Ifo in Kenya is in northern Kenya. And we always play together, and he was a very good kid. I was older than him, and he used to say, one day you guys will watch me in TV, and then we say, shut up, can you please shut up? And now the guy is a global ambassador to UNICEF, a very great guy. He is a part of the Lost Boys, and he made movies. His actor is originally from South Sudan, and I will play his speech during the War of Ye Day a few years ago. I think it was like 3 years ago in 2016. And His life is full of challenges, but he's a representative of the rest of the voices that have no space to tell their stories. But he's speaking on my behalf and on behalf of everybody who left his own or her own country. And listen to Gare, please.
My life, set against the backdrop of extended civil war between the north and south of Sudan, a war that claims over 2.5 million people. My mother's, I have 11 of us, extended civil war between the north and south of Sudan, a war that claims over 2.5 million people. My mother's, I have 11 of us, and I was a middle child. Six of my brothers and sisters were claimed by that civil war, so I became a second older to the five who are alive today. You see, when I was growing up in the greater Okobo, in a small village called Lid, I did what every child liked to do. We used to go to the forest to go hunt for honey and birds. And sometimes we go about our way to go mow mud as a cow just to imitate our way of life. In the evenings, we pick up fruits and then we bring them home to mom. And then she prepared the food for us already. As soon as we finish eating, the firewood is being prepared. And then we sit around it and she starts telling us stories, the folktale stories. Those were the fondest memories of my life as a child. During the dry season, our father would order us to go to the great Upper Nile, where our cow would graze green grass. Then we get an opportunity to go fishing, hunting. In the evening, we get to go to the functions where we sing songs about traditions. And also, it's always a message about those songs. So our life was very peaceful. One morning, I was awakened by the claps of AK-47. Like, and my mom starts screaming, "Gare, Gare, wake up. We are about to die." So I woke up and my eyes was blurry, try to see. I couldn't see anything. When I got an opportunity to see things, and then I was just seeing a lot of bullets flying through us because it was early in the mornings. You could see the flame of the bullets just flying by. My mom clutched little twins to her shoulder, and she started sprinting toward the Nile. My little sister and I, who was 7 years young, who was 7 years younger, and I'm 9 at the time, we start following our mom. We dove right into the water. We start swimming as fast as possible to go to the other end of the banks. When we got there, I started to see the glow of the sun. And we continued to run, and we dashed inside the long grass. And we went for quite some time running, and the bullets couldn't stop coming our way. We got to the area where there's a bunch of tarmac mounds. Mom sat me down and said, "Gare, you gotta sit here with your brothers and sisters, so that I'm gonna go look for your father, dead or alive." Mom took off. She left me with three little ones. And she started asking people, "Have you seen my husband? My husband, Tabat." She continued to go on. Some of the people were hurt until mom disappeared out of my sight. Later that evening, she said she even went and flipped dead bodies to see if she can find my father. But my father was fighting miles away. But a hail of bullets like that will make you forget which way to go and what to ask. Mom came back that evening. She brought fish. She fed us. And she strategized. She said, we have to go to Ethiopia. I said, where is Ethiopia? She said, Chew the rising sun. Early in the morning, we start collecting our little possession that we have, and we left walking to Ethiopia. I try to forget that day. I try very hard. But I couldn't. Because it was the day my life, or our lives, were shattered. And we were scattered everywhere. And then we were introduced as the new refugees in Ethiopia, which was our neighboring country. I lived in Ethiopia for 4 years in a refugee camp called Itang. Twin. They get to enjoy their one day meals because food was provided by the UN Refugee Agency. My little sister and I, we enjoy luxury of going to school under the tree where we had to scratch our ABCs on the ground. But something unusual was coming. The civil war erupted in Ethiopia in 1991 on May 26, I remember very well. That's the day that I lost contact with my mom, my brothers, and many of my siblings, and everybody ran separate direction. I ran towards Sudan by myself. I was about age of 13. I walked in a flooded season, day in, day out, until I find a military base that had food and water and also security, and I didn't hesitate to join, and I became a child soldier. I spent months in a military base. My work was very basic. We prepare food, and sometimes we clean guns for the guys who really participate on a regular basis in fightings. But a huge battle came to our area, our military camps, where they killed most of my friends that I sleep with them in the same blanket every day, Madalad and Nyanko. I ran so fast until I forgot where I was going. That day was a turning point for me. That's when I asked myself, if I stay here in this country, Sudan, my life is going to end like Madalat and Nyanko. That's the day that I decided to really attach myself to the band of boys who were going to Ethiopia to seek for safety. We walked 520 miles. We were digging encampments and corpses who would try to risk our lives. Luckily, we got to Ethiopia and we met a man who was driving a truck. We gave him a few bucks and then he put us in his trucks, took us across Ethiopia all the way to the border, Ethiopia and Kenya. So we find other trucks, and they took me across Kenya, and then they took me to the refugee camps called Dadaab Ifo. Dadaab was a very desert place. Barely tree there. 120 degrees every day. I find it tough to live there, but I had hopes to be there because we heard there was an opportunity to be resettled in the United States, Denmark, Norway, Canada. So I have something to live for. And I waited in that refugee camp for over a year, and it sounded like a decade to me when I was there. Trust me. And one day, a blessing came from somewhere where our names appeared on the board of the UNHCR that we are elected to go to America. And I was very happy. Because they say if you get to America, you will go to school. You will get to work. So I was ready to work and provide for my family and those that I left behind. But I was very young at the time because I was only 15 years old. However, we went through the procedure where we have to go to the interview with a lawyer. Then we passed. And then went from there, and then they took us from Ifo camp to Nairobi in the Riru refugee camp right in the middle of Nairobi so that we can do our medical check. We did our medical check and four of us passed too. In 2 weeks, our name appeared again that we are flying to the United States. I remember coming close to the airplane. I never know airplane is as big as this. Even a guy who's 6 foot, I can walk and even go use the restroom inside the airplane. So I have a lot of mixed emotion, as you can imagine. I sat in there and I was very quiet because when something confused me, I go silent for a very long time. I couldn't believe this machine gonna lift me up and take me all the way to a different land. And it did that evening. And I landed in JFK. Not to live there, but to make a connection to go to where our sponsor was, which is Des Moines, Iowa. When I got to JFK, I never seen a place where I can't distinguish night and day because it was so bright with so many lights. I'm seeing so many people walking many different directions. I don't know where they're going or where they're coming from, dragging suitcases. And here I am carrying the plastic bags. When we were in refugee camp, I thought Paul can speak good English. So Paul went around, tried to make a connection, asking these guys, "Do you know Des Moines, Iowa?" Yeah, Des Moines, Iowa. It's like, give me your ticket. The guy looked at it, is like, oh, this is Des Moines, Iowa. So that day I knew Paul English was dying. So we made our connection and we made it to Des Moines, Iowa. We were received by our colleagues who came a year before. Show was around.
Trap.
My thoughts.
Trap. Money, penny.
All about it.
Got me in my school. Gotta be real with it. Yeah. Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you. And
that's the history of Gerard Sabaitja, one of my friends that we lived together in a refugee camp in Kenya. And all that story he was telling, we came together to Kenya, we moved from camp to another camp, and it was a very dangerous life back then. There was no proper protection. And Gerard, like I said before, is speaking on my behalf and on behalf of everybody who is suffering. And this is Resonator Radio, brought to you live by ARCC on Planet FM. And I play you this music, and then we will go back to Gare again for the rest of a few minutes that we have.
Risha, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you, and I need you. And I'm down for you always. JT, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you,
and I need ya, and I'm down for ya always.
Two bad bitches and we kissing in a way, kissing, kissing in a way, kissing, kissing in a way. I need that black card in the cold to the safe, cold to the safe, cold, cold to the safe, safe. I show 'em how to network. For that Netflix and chill, what's your net worth?
'Cause I want ya, and I need ya, and I'm down for ya always. And I'm down for ya always. And I'm down for ya, down for ya, down for ya always.
I got a new boy and a nigga Trey.
Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. 'Cause I want ya, and I need ya, and I'm down for ya always. Baby, do you love me? Are you riding?
Smoke. Now let me see you. Now let me see you. Gotta be real with it.
About 9 now, right?
Trap, money, penny. This shit got me in my feelings. Gotta be real with it. Yep.
Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. 'Cause I want you and I need you. And I'm down for you always. KB, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. 'Cause I want you. And I need you, and I'm down for you always.
So now we are almost coming to the end of our program. It's now 5:42, and by 5:49, then the 1 hour show will run out, and that will be the end of our program. Now for the rest of the few minutes, about eight minutes more, let me go back and play Gary's story. Gary's story is a very emotional story, and he's talking from his experience, and let's
to come
hear
to this strange land where I have to learn how to live, and how I have to learn to navigate and make something of myself. And the dream that one day I can go home, or one day I can read and write, that was the motivation that I always have. I'm glad I can tell this story to you guys, not in my mother tongue, in your language. I was 16 years old. I was put in a class with American kids, Cambodian, Bosnians, who I had the same common ground with them because they were having the same trouble in their own country. And English was a second language to all of us. I work as hard as possible so that I can really understand what the teacher is saying. And I picked up the game of basketball, which became a huge part of my life that kept me grounded because I was dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder. Basketball helped me. Luckily, I even got a scholarship out of high school when I graduated in 1998. And then I went on to college where I was playing college basketball at University of Bridgeport in Connecticut. And after I finished my degree, another opportunity was coming to me. It's called acting. I remember one afternoon, a friend of ours named Manute Bull, who was a superhero almost to all South Sudanese people, and is a well-known basketball player.
in America invited us over to his house to audition for a movie for Universal. A guy, David Arasu, wanted a guy from Sudan who have dealt with real life experiences. So that day was just more like a reunion for me to see my South Sudanese people and play basketball. I got in front of the camera. I wasn't sure what I was doing. But 3 months later on, I was called there for the role in the movie that many, many thousands of guys all around the world was looking for that role. I was flying to LA, and the next things I know, I'm in a trailer with the people that I've been watching on TV doing a rehearsal with them. He was Dustin Hoffman, next to me, Lily Tomlin, Jude Law, Mark Wahlberg, and Jonah Hill. So now we're the first, that was our first job. Hey, if anybody ever tell you that making a movie is glamour, they lying to you. Jonah and I, we have to learn from the very beginning, but now Jonah become bigger than life. I'm glad he's not in this room. We went on and we shot that movie, and that's how I was introduced into a film. When I was growing up, I wanted to be a storyteller, and my mom was doing that. Now I'm telling story in the form of a film, something that I enjoy very well. So I switched coast. I went to New York so that I can audition more in the state of commute between Connecticut and New York. But something was aching in my heart. After 18 years of me not seeing my mom, my father, and all my siblings that I left behind, I decided to really take an airplane from JFK and went all the way to Nairobi, Kenya, to Sudan. And I start searching for my mom in 2010 until I find her in the village where she have given birth to me, Akobo. We went and voted it because our country was splitting from the north. We vote together. That's the war that make her lose 6 of her children. So I thought it was the best way for us to do it together so that we vote and then we separate. So all of us had a power to do that, even though we don't have to participate in a physical war. And I told my mom that. Our dream came true that day. South Sudan became an independent country, and I went back to New York. The reason I'm telling you guys this story is because in 2015, I have seen so many refugees fleeing from their own home, looking for places to live. Refugees are your family and mine. They are currently looking for a place to live in this world that we call home, or the place that we share, all of us. If opportunity is provided to refugees, the transformation can occur, and then they can thrive and become citizens of this world. And to me, that's the way that we have to revive the humanity, because we chipped away based on conflict that has taken toll on all of us. If intelligent resettlement is given to refugees to give them vital skills with the intention to hire them into the area and use the experience.
And that's Gaya Thabach, a former refugee and a lost boy who went to resettle to the United States of America, and now is a goodwill ambassador to the UNICEF. And this has come to the end of our program, and we will continue again next Saturday, same time, same place, and bye-bye. Be safe.
That was our show for this week.
Take care until next Saturday, same time, 10 to 5, on Planet FM 104.6.
And on the web, www.planetaudio.org.nz/resettedradio.